All right. Hey, good morning. Welcome back. This is the I Am Sorry About Last Night podcast, part of the Social Podcast Network, www.socialpodcastnetwork.com. Local folks doing local podcasts. Good morning. August 19th, 2026. Summer is wrapping up. August is coming to an end. We still have September. September's beautiful. Fall, August, September, October's beautiful. November's beautiful. December's fine. Really, January and February where it gets really grim, but, you know, we are heading into the fall. Looking forward to it. Starting to chat about our trip to Connecticut. Big fan of that. We've now named that our reset trip. It's funny to live at a vacation, live at the beach, and have to go somewhere to get a reset. But that's sort of the way it is here. I don't know. I guess that's sort of the way it is everywhere. It's just so many people everywhere. And, you know, I guess that's what happens when you live at a destination. Traffic has been terrible this year, like every year, right? It's nothing new. I've said before, it's the apps. The apps are sending people to places we've never been. And we went to, we had the state fair come through, and I love the fair. The fair brings many great memories for me, especially growing up in Albuquerque. Fair used to come in September, so we would have, I think school would sort of get going again, and then the fair would show up, and then we would have like a half day. And we used to actually walk from school down to the fairgrounds, and it was the best day, right? I mean, we would try to get our concert shirts and our posters. Always had this list of things I wanted to try to get, especially concert shirts. You could definitely win concert shirts, and you could definitely win cool rock posters. And but the fair was always great, went every year. The rodeo, big concerts at the fair. Most of the concerts that I've seen, especially in my youth, was in Albuquerque, growing up in Albuquerque, going to the fairgrounds. Tingley Coliseum is where I saw most of my bands. We just went and visited Albuquerque. I don't know if I discussed it. I may have, but it was an interesting trip. A lot of drugs, not the city that I grew up with or grew up in, excuse me. But the drugs and homeless are terrible. It's really bizarre. I'm not going to really dive into what I think, but it's a shame. And, but it was fun. And I was talking to my buddy, about do they still have concerts at Tingley? And he said, no, they have the concerts now at the Indian Reservation, the Indian Casino. And so I guess all the big bands, go out there. And I thought that was cool. And then I was talking to my other buddy, Mike, that I grew up with. You know, he's old like me. And he's like, yeah, I'm really into this music. I'm like, send me some music. I'm always looking to, you know, check out some new music. And he sent me some great music, but very heavy. Holy moly. That kind of music. And I'm just, I guess I've gotten old. There was definitely a time in my life where I loved that, you know, Sepultura and that heavy, you know, thrash. I don't know what it's even labeled as these days, but was definitely into it, but I've outgrown it. And I told him, send me some music. I'll let you know what I think. And it's good. It's great music, but it's a little too heavy for me. But it was, you know, the point was is that they don't have the concerts at Tingley anymore. So back to the original point was we took the kids out to the fair and we used the app. Way to come back to the story. And, you know, when we were going to the fair, I know where the fair is, but I don't drive out to that area often ever, really. So I put it in the app, and the app was taking us through neighborhoods and parts of Delaware I've never been through. And I'm sure the people that were that live on that road and live in that area were pretty shocked at all the cars probably traveling through the area. Just like here, you know, there's we live quite a ways away from the main drag of this town, and there. Couple days we've had traffic backed up down our road, and for no other reason than, you know, the apps.
To my mother, to my father, it's your son or it's your daughter. My screams loud enough for you to hear me.
Speaking of heavy, right? Yep. So anyway, I thought I'd come up. I did try to do the podcast. I guess it was a couple weeks ago. I think I shared I was asked to speak on a Wednesday. I came up after the meeting to try to share on it, and I was just sort of, I think, overwhelmed with the idea of speaking, which I had accomplished. And then just to debrief myself a little, I couldn't quite get it together. And then, of course, I've done other things. So I'm... But I did want to read, you know, the thing that I read. I was asked to speak at an As-Built Sees It meeting, and the thing that I chose was Daily Acceptance. And it's on page 44, and it says, "Too much of my life has been spent in dwelling upon the faults of others. This is a most subtle and perverse form of self-satisfaction, which permits us to remain comfortably unaware of our own defects. Too often we are heard to say, 'If it weren't for him or her, how happy I'd be.' Our very first problem is to accept our present circumstances as they are, ourselves as we are, and the people about us as they are. This is to adopt a realistic humility without which no genuine advance can even begin. Again and again, we shall need to return to that unflattering point of departure. This is an exercise in acceptance that we can profitably practice every day of our lives. Provided we strenuously avoid turning these realistic surveys of the facts of life into unrealistic alibis for apathy or defeatism, they can be the sure foundation upon which increased emotional health and therefore spiritual progress can be built." Yeah, accountability, right? That is, I remember hearing the word. I heard the word earlier, way before I ever decided to get sober, because my parents were always telling me that I needed to be accountable for my actions. And I was like, yeah. I'm not done with my actions, right? I mean, accountable sounds like something that's someone that wants to stop doing what they're doing would use, right? Accountability. But for a person that had no desire to ever get sober, to ever stop doing drugs, to ever stop doing what I was doing, accountability was not on the top of the list of things that I needed to do. But, you know, coming into the program, it's all been about that. Always been about that. You know, I always say, my anniversary is December 22nd, 2008. But that's not the last time that I told a lie. It's not the last time I cheated. It's not the last time I stole. And I shared that in a meeting, and the guy's like, I've never heard anybody say that. And I've actually never heard anybody say that either. I heard my sponsor say it, but when he said it, I was like, damn, that's truth right there. My life prior to getting sober and after putting down the drink, obviously prior to getting sober was just, I would lie without hesitation. And it wasn't like, I'm going to lie about what I have or what I've done, which I would still do. But it was always about my desire to be better, you know. And I don't just mean with drinking, but just with behavior. And, you know, the things would come up and I'd say, I'm going to be better. I remember, you know, doing drugs, losing my job and really having a heart-to-heart with my parents and saying, you know, I'm going to do better. That was a lie. I had no, first of all, I had no desire to do better. And honestly, I had no path. I didn't know how to do better. I didn't know how to, because I just, you know, at those times, I just figured this is what I've got. I live a life of bad luck and bad choices and getting caught too much, and this is the way it is, and I'll tell you I'm going to do better, but I have really no intentions of doing better because I really had nothing holding me accountable to do better other than my parents, and by this time, you know, they'd said it enough. I had replied the same answers, and we'd all pretty much given up. But, you know, the night that I got sober, there was an option, a question, and I've said this before. You know, I got sober drunk. Right, I said yes under the influence. I was asked, do you think you have a problem with alcohol? And I said yes, and believe me, I had thought about this issue for many, many years, especially drunk. Right, you know, it'd be this freaking, you know, this multifaceted day of waking up with shame and guilt and regret, this self-life of you know, just being alone physically and spiritually, and then by the end of the day deciding, well, maybe I'll just have beer, and then repeating it over and over and over, and just, you know, in a death spiral. And then that night, you know, being asked, do you think you have a drinking problem, and saying yes, you know, I'll, yes, this is it, and do you want help, yes. And that was, you know, me being accountable probably for the first time. I don't know if I knew what I was getting into, but I said it. And then obviously, you know, and I always, you know, I talk about this, my buddy, you know, coming up there and asking me if I wanted to come to a meeting. And I said, yes, not drunk. You know, at this point, I'm upstairs, I'm in the hospital, asked if I would like to come to a meeting, and saying yes, sober, because I really, really, really did want to step off that freaking train. And finding this life and this, you know, this group of people, and just so much better than the way I was living. And that carried me for so long. But I had only really been accountable for one thing, and that was, do you think you have a drinking problem? That's the one thing that had become unmanageable. I mean, all of it had become unmanageable, but that one had come to the surface, and we were going to address it, and I did. And for that, you know, that shady moment, I said yes, and then, you know, recovery showed up and surrounded me and lifted me up, and all of this was new, and it felt great, and I was like, this is awesome. But, you know, the program teaches us, and it's when we're ready to be taught, right? When I'm ready. It's not, look at me, I'm ready. Let's do it. That's not the time. I mean, it's the beginning, but I still wasn't ready. Sitting with the sponsor, reading these steps, working through it, making lists, you know, saying it out loud, all the stuff it asks us to do, how important is it? And then to, of course, drink again. And that was really because all of my recovery up until that point of having that drink was all built on lies, you know, not being honest, not being accountable. You know, I was told early on, don't do anything extreme in the first year. And I did it all. And I know I've shared that before, but it's so, nobody could tell me. Nobody could say, dude, that's extreme. Dude, that's not what you're supposed to be doing. And if it was extreme and I knew that, I probably would lie and say I wasn't doing it. You know, a lot of my early recovery as a person, you know, and I've said before, my first drug was my first girlfriend. You know, drugs, alcohol, women, right? They go together. And, you know, meeting my first girlfriend and losing every, you know, basically just putting the blinders on, all I was consumed with was her. And that's when I really started to not give a shit about anything else other than that. And really, it was really others, really serving just the satisfaction of not being, you know, alone. As an early teenager, you know, I guess I was suffering from, you know, worried about being alone. I don't know what it was, but I loved it. I loved having a girlfriend, and I didn't care about anything else. It happens to a lot of people. You know, it doesn't happen to everybody. I you know, I watch my kids. My kids aren't really interested in relationships right now. I keep, you know, by this time I was deep into it, and my kids have avoided it, and I'm happy. I don't want them to get involved with a in a relationship at this age, because it does it can take, for a guy like me, it could sweep me off my feet. My other kids don't seem to really care, but for me, it was a real distraction. But that, you know, that was the beginning of me just not giving a shit. And so, you know, early recovery, it was like, I got to find a great girlfriend. You know, I'd been living this, you know, moving to California. I mean, I'd had relationships. I'd had a steady girlfriend, and then finally getting over to California, that relationship sort of ending due to distance. And then I got into a couple of other relationships. But, you know, the drinking and the drugging, you know, those early relationships faded off. And then I slid into this sort of druggy drinking bar world. And my relationships were one-night stands or, you know, women that needed things or, you know, whatever. It was debauchery is what it was. It was selfish. It was all sin and lies and devil. And, you know, living by the night and sleeping by the day, it was bad, right? But it was just all character defects. There were defects in my character back in those days, but they were fueled by the, you know, the drugs and the alcohol. And so, of course, you know, all the things that happened, jail and arrest and, you know, this and that and fights and finally escaping California, right? Thank God I was able to leave California. Thank you, Mom and Dad, because if I would be dead or stuck on the side of a road in a camper or a tent or probably dead or in jail. But, you know, coming out here and then, you know, living the life, doing the same, bringing that same nonsense over here to Delaware. And then, of course, having the moment and then ending up in recovery. But really the main character defect that I was addressing was the drinking. It was really the fight. It was really just the fighting and the drinking and driving. Those were my, and if you'd asked me in those days, that would be my biggest problem. And, you know, so those two problems were addressed immediately because I was choosing not to pick up a drink. So of course I'm not going to drink and drive, right? And of course I'm not going to drink. You know, but then, but you know, for the first 4 years of my recovery was just that. You know, this was time to find a good girlfriend. And so, you know, but that was, you know, relationships, you know, the internet was new, reaching out, texting people. It was all, you know, it was all new. And I was trying to figure it out just like the rest of us were trying to figure it out. But, you know, then, of course, meeting my wife and, you know, but, you know, I look back on it and it was just so bad. And if I had just followed, you know, I don't want to say if I had followed the directions of my sponsor and not done anything extreme, where would I be today? Because I'm happy where I'm at. I'm very grateful. I'm so blessed. Oh, my God. It is amazing if you put down drugs and alcohol, the success that a person can find. I mean, I know it's tough, right? I know it's expensive, but... you know, people really like the fact if a person isn't a drunk or a drug addict, you know, that's a lot of opportunities start to come your way if you can finally put that shit down. But the point is that, you know, over time, one day at a time, I started to have more and more character defects exposed and not addressing them. Right. I'm not drinking and driving, really, and I'm not really. I'm not drinking and driving, and I'm not drinking. And so, to me, that was pretty freaking awesome. And I'm doing the best I can. And to me, that looked amazing. So, but you know, 3 or 4 years later, it started to become a thing. And I learned, you know, I went to school because I loved what somebody did in that career, and I wanted to be like him, right? Because I had nothing. And so I made choices to go to school for a job that I hated, right? And then I got into a relationship because I had nothing. And this person, you know, was doing great things and I wanted something to feel better. And the problem is the job turned out to be the wrong choice and not enough. And the relationship was the same way. But these are character defects, right? This is me not being accountable. This is me actually back in those days, I just had no idea. But if I'm doing that shit today... Right. You know, because after, you know, obviously losing the marriage and losing that job and making shifts and doing different things, you know, I started to realize, man, these things create pain and worry and fear. But still doing them, like I can tolerate some pain. I can tolerate some fear. Right. But over the years of sticking with this, you get to a point, I have gotten to a point, I don't want to tolerate any fear. I don't want to tolerate any pain. I don't want to worry. How do I do that? How do I avoid pain, fear, worry? Pain, fear, and worry. Those aren't all the same things, right? Pain, fear, and worry. Well, you start addressing the character defects in your life. I started having to address the character defects in my life. You know, I shared before, you know, back in those days, I would put on this show for my sponsor like I was doing great, how I would drive. I'd come pick him up. We'd drive, seatbelt and music and down and just really putting on quite a show for him so he would think, you know, I want everybody to think I was doing good except for me inside knowing that you're really not, man. You're not doing as bad, but and later I would find out that I wasn't doing very good at all. And of course, that's just the, you know, I'm building a house on a shaky foundation. And eventually the foundation would crumble and the house would crumble and all of it would fall apart. And I don't recommend it. I am not mad about it. At one point I was drinking every day again. You know, I came back, I decided I would try drinking again. I'd pushed away from meetings. That is the key. If you're pushing away from meetings, you're headed towards a drink. I'm sorry. If you're pushing away from your friends and you're separating yourself from the herd, you're headed towards a drink or a drug. It's just that simple. I know people will say, I'm telling you. I'm telling you that's where you're headed. And that's exactly what happened to me. I found a reason not to like the meeting. I told myself this behind the scenes, let a little secret, we'll find a different meeting, and we never did. And the next thing you know, I'm drinking, and I got 100 reasons why I should, right? You know, this marriage sucks, this job sucks, everything sucks. All the stuff that I had done in early recovery because I thought I was being better turned out would be all the fuel for me to go back out and drink. You know, I came into this program with nothing. I built a life in recovery, and then I threw it all away again and, you know, started over. And luckily, I didn't kill anybody or get killed because, you know, at the end, I was drinking every day again. I was drinking, taking pills. It was bad. And that's the other thing, taking pills my whole time in sobriety, you know, with this back issue. And, and so here I am. And today, you know, and I said this the other day, man, prior to this, man, my life was so full of lies. And in my recovery up until this point, the amount of lies I used to tell compared to the lies I tell today are 100% different. Right? I don't lie today. I can't do it. And if I do, and when I say lie, you know, just, you know, sometimes people will pop up in my life and I won't admit that it's happened. It just recently happened. I did someone's hair and she was telling me that so-and-so said to tell me hello. And I was like, oh, hello, right? Here comes the devil, right? The demons. But the fact is, I don't want to be afraid. I don't want to worry, and I don't want to have fear. Why? Because this is my relationship today with God. And if I'm afraid, I am not holding the hand of God. I am off on my own. I've made choices that don't quite jive with the program. You know, it's always funny, you hear about it all the time. I wasn't one to always do it, but I hear about it all the time. People go on benders and disappear for 5 or 6 days, right? I've never done that, but I hear it all the time about people that do that. And I think, yeah, that's because they want to get away from the people that they care about. And it's the same thing, you know, when I went back out, you know, the devil, the demons, they, you know, they wanted to remove me from the people that cared about me. They don't want to have any positive voices in my life. And I remember my last drink. You know, it was like San Diego all over again, at the night, in a bar, carrying on, whoop, whoop, and doing whatever I did, and then standing on this porch, smoking a cigarette under the influence of cocaine and booze, and weed and cigarettes. And I just looked out, and the sun, I think, was maybe thinking about coming up. And I just said, I gotta make a change. And that's when I made the phone call, and my buddy came and picked, drove 4 hours and came and got me. I finally became accountable. I don't recommend it, but I've been to the bottom, to the top, back to the bottom, and then started to understand the keys and the tools that I really need to get to. I don't need to be to the top. I just need to be aware of what I'm doing and what's going on. And that's where the accountability comes in. I do think it's funny, you know, I have, you know, the spiritual awakening, and I'm, you know, I've talked about, I think recently, about the self-pity, you know, creating stories in my mind and then reacting to them. And it's a sickness. But it talks about another one in here. And that was, hold on, self-satisfaction. It says, too much of my life has been spent in dwelling upon the faults of others. This is a most subtle and perverse form of self-satisfaction. So self-satisfaction is another devil, another spirit, another friend, right? We got self-pity and we got self-satisfaction, and I do that. I look at other people and I judge them, and then it somehow makes me feel like I'm doing better in my life. I don't know. I do think I'm doing better, but I shouldn't be judging other people. That's one of the challenges, I think, for, you know, people that aren't in recovery, right? This is why this program is such a gift. You know, we get to be accountable. We get to reflect and find out the parts we played, we've learned. But, you know, I have several people going through tough times, and my one friend going through the divorce, it's not getting any better. He was texting me yesterday, this is what's happening. This is my life is just fucked. And, you know, I feel like saying, dude, maybe you need to take a look and figure out, right, what part you played and to get yourself here. In his mind, this person's a piece of shit. This is unfair. I don't understand why this is happening to me. And I'm like, but, you know, he hasn't had that act of providence, I guess. And he, you know, I think he definitely consumed some booze. He may be one of us soon. You know, he may be showing up, unfortunately. But you know, unless a person's in this program, unless a person has been beaten down to a point where they become willing and to take a hard look at it, you know, they're just victims. And he just is such a victim. And I understand. I get it. I've been there. But I just want to tell him, dude, you got to take a hard look and figure out the part you played in it. And that's not happening. He's like, what do you fucking mean? So, all right, let me read the daily reflections. And I'm off today. I think I'm going to go up and visit my father. See old pop. All right. August 19th, a frame of reference. Referring to our list inventory again, putting out our minds the wrong others had done. Wait a minute. Putting out of our minds the wrongs others had done, we resolutely looked for our own mistakes, where we had been selfish, dishonest, self-seeking, and frightened. Yep. Yes, sir. That is, I'm going to read that one more time a little slower. Referring to our list inventory again, putting out of our minds the wrongs others had done, we resolutely looked for our own mistakes, where we had been selfish, dishonest, self-seeking, and frightened. Alcoholics Anonymous, page 67. There's a wonderful freedom in not needing constant approval from colleagues at work or from the people I love. I wish I had known about this step before, because once I developed a frame of reference, I felt able to do the next right thing, knowing that the action fit the situation and that it was the correct thing to do. Yep. That's just what I talked about. yeah. All right, listen, I appreciate it. Like I always say, we'll try to get back into doing this more regularly, but I hope everyone's having a great day, and I'll catch you later. Bye. And I feel like I am nothing but
that you made me. So do something, 'cause I'm fine.